Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy B. Scott has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
We ain't laying down for nobody.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, Brandon Scott, Texans report every Wednesday at 4:40. And there's a lot to get to today. I mean, hell, like my little list that I done made in terms of things that I wanted to talk to you about is damn near shot.
Wow.
Nico Collins was the big news of the day, him going on IR. But this news that's coming down here of late about Kamari Lassiter seems to be something that is more of the latest. And you've been at the facility. You were there at the press conferences, at practices. What are you hearing about Kamari Lassiter, and how serious would you say that there is a potential that he is missing, going to miss time?
Yeah, with so this injury? It's a shoulder injury, and he did not practice today. And you can kind of watch this story unfold over the last couple of days up until this point, to us speaking right now, where they bring back Kadarius Holman, right? Bring him back from a practice squad, sign him to the roster. Then you go out there and you see that Kamari Lassiter is not practicing. Then D'Amico Ryans gets asked about the depth at that position and does not rule out or really kind of give you one way or another if Kamari Lassiter is available or not going to play. He wouldn't do that anyway, but he does speak to the depth of not just the position but the team. And so, and then you get the report from Aaron Wilson saying that, you know, it's something that could keep him out. I think if you put it all together, there's a feeling that their depth at that position is going to be tested this week. Now, do I think it's too early to rule him out and say that Kamari Lassiter for sure is not going to play? We've seen this happen before. I've been on here before on a Wednesday where a guy didn't practice. Then at the last minute, they're available to play. And let's make note, this is a shoulder injury. It's not a lower extremity. It's not like it's a soft tissue thing, ankle, knee, that type of thing. So if it's an issue of pain tolerance, you might think that Kamari Lassiter could go, but there's no doubt that they're prepping, at least preparing, to not have him out there.
That's interesting, because in camp, you know, we're sitting in there, we're going, hey man, the corner, really the cover defenders, with the Houston Texans, they are deep. I mean, hell, they're as deep there as they are at wide receiver.
I never thought that.
Well,
I mean, you didn't
think bringing in two top 10 picks and C.J. Henderson and Jeff Okuda?
Not by the end of it. I did in the beginning.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's where I was going with it. That's right. My whole point where I was going was that there was a point where you've got a second-round pick and Stingley and Jeff Okuda and C.J. Henderson, and then what was the dude that ended up playing more light-skinned dude with the dream?
Mike Ford.
And he had played in the league before. And then you look at, Ross, and then you look at Dez King and Jalen Petrie at the nickel defender. All these, you're going, man, the cover defenders, they're deep at that corner position.
That flamed out, didn't it?
No question. I'm sitting there going, well, damn, they're going to have a hard time deciding who to cut. And here we sit week five, and we're going, Kamari Lassiter's injured. We're bringing Kadarius Holman up off the practice squad.
Yeah, by the time we got through it, C.J. Henderson hadn't shown you much. Jeff Okuda had been injured for much of it. And a lot of that depth conversation that we're having, Clint, that you're talking about, the point that you're making, had to do with those guys being sort of the marquee's not the right word, but like central to that idea.
Yeah,
signing those
absolutely.
Two, plus investing the second
that
round
kind
pick
of depth, yeah.
on Kamari Lassiter. But between the two of those veterans that you signed that have been drafted highly, you didn't get much out of either of them. You cut one before you even get to the 53-man, and then the other one has to go on the IR and is eligible to come off the IR this week, and we're not talking about it.
Yeah.
We don't hear anything about him. So the depth of that position has been an issue for me ever since we got to toward the end of camp, or by the time we get to having a conversation.
When you realize Jeff is hurt, CJ ain't doing much, and what are we going to do? What else are we going to do?
Or that Kamari Lassiter has won the job in a runaway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that. So all of that has been an issue. And I think that, again, to my point earlier, I think the depth of that position is going to be tested based off of this injury with Kamari last year.
Who they potentially go with if he's not able to go?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. That's the issue. You got Kadar Holman that you just signed.
It's not surely him, right?
Kadar Holman's played for them before. D'Angelo Ross is on the team. You've got Chris Boyd on the team. So, I mean, you got a bunch of different guys on the team. You're going to tell me you feel great about, like I mentioned, Jeff Okuda can come back, but we haven't heard much about that. So it is a...
Well, if he ain't practicing today, I
right, you know, and that's, so that's what I'm saying. It's a turnstile, and it's a big question mark
in terms
of depth outside of those top two guys, Stingley, Lassiter, opposite each other. If either one of them goes down, Stingley, of course, with the history, been healthy this year. Now Lassiter possibly not going to be around for you. That's an issue.
Brandon Scott joins us, Texans Report. He was out there today covering the Texans practice and talked to D'Amico and C.J. Stroud, amongst others. The Nico Collins story was the big story of the day. Out on IR, was going to miss at least four games with a hamstring issue. Now, we've seen with Damian Pierce, they didn't put him on IR, didn't put him on anything, and he had a hamstring thing, but he's missed 4 weeks. Oddly enough, he's back on the practice field. What did it mean to you and what you're hearing that they immediately placed him on IR? Does it make you feel like this is an injury that could be more than 4 weeks? What are you reading out of the timing of them putting him on?
Yeah, there's not enough to read past the 4 weeks. It just tells you like the significance of it that he's out. I mean, I'd even go back to the game, the fact that he goes out immediately right after that play. And we got a pretty quick report from the press box, right, about him being out for the game even then. So that's when I first got word. I'm not surprised that he's going to be, you know, on the injured list, that he is on the injured list and is going to miss at least four games. I don't have anything that says he's going to miss more than that. But obviously we know that the hamstring can be tricky. We've already now seen Damian Pierce miss, what, four games behind one. So I mean, it's an issue, but I think it's kind of the opposite of what you have with the cornerback spot in Kamari Lassiter, whereas, hey, the depth of that position is going to be tested in a different way. We talked about them being deep in terms of the best weaponry or some of the best weaponry in all of football. Well, we'll get to test that theory between having Damian Pierce back is a plus, but you've been trying to get Tank Dell going for a while. Clint, we have all talked about this of – hey, let's get back to Tank Dell doing wide receiver things and not so much like he's a gadget player. He's Xavier Worthy or whatever it is. Like, let's let him be the Tank Dell of his rookie year. Well, they don't have any option now. Like, they're going to have to resort to that, and we'll see how it looks. I think that it's convenient that they get tested this way on the defensive side against a team that's trying to find itself offensively and that they have the weapons to do it against a team whose strength is on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
So it is convenient for the Texans that this is where their weaknesses are this particular week.
Well, on the injury report, one thing that stuck out to me is you've got an offensive line that struggled in pass protection. You've got an offensive line, let's say, been inconsistent in pass protection and once again struggling to run the football, and you got three of your starting five that don't practice today. What's your feel on those three guys? Kenyon Green, Titus Howard, Laremy Tunsil, no practice today. What's your feel on those guys in terms of being at least being available?
No, it's just a constant concern with the offensive line. Clint, we had a similar conversation last weekend. It ended up just being Titus Howard that couldn't play. But you go from an offensive line that's been mostly whole and healthy. I know Juice Scruggs missed a game there, but mostly whole and healthy and is underperformed. And now they're banged up on top of it. So to me, it's just like going backwards. It's going the wrong way. Like, they need to play better. But even if they play, now they're banged up and they're struggling. Yeah. So to me, it's like, it's an uphill climb to me. Now, like, just not good news, even if they end up playing.
Well, you got
to. I think Tunsil will is the one that I do think will play for
sure. Skeezy, you got a situation right now where, I mean, you're having to practice at least one, if not 2 days a week with Broker at tight end. I mean, I'm sorry, at tackle, I'm sorry.
At tackle, yeah. Didn't they try that in preseason?
They tried. They had to. They, I mean, you know what I mean? So it's just like, it's. I mean, you know you're probably going to have to play Fisher, and he's young and has a chance, but it's a struggle. And now you're looking at a situation where, hell, during the week, Broker's in the huddle with him. Am I saying that right? Broker?
Yeah. We went through Broker, Breaker.
Brocker.
We went through everything. It could be Brocker.
Yeah.
But whatever, and no disrespect to him, but whatever, however you pronounce his name, the fact that we have to mention it is an issue.
However you know, pronounce his name.
You know, and I don't mean that in disrespect, but like that's where we're at. A guy whose name we're still at this point not sure how to pronounce should not be this influential in your game planning process. And to your point, just to put it simple, Clint, like, it is an offensive line. I think we can all agree. It is an offensive line that looks like it needs practice. Is it not? Is it not an offensive line that looks like it needs work?
That's what I've been saying for a year and a half now. I just don't see, unless you have like an injury that you just can't practice, like whatever's going on with Titus Howard, you can't play, you can't practice, I get that. But the veteran days off, the whole I'm sore, I need recovery, like, let's figure out this run game and then we'll take veteran days off.
No, well, and they might be sore, they might need recovery. Honestly, Clint, I don't know what the significance is of the injury. Like, Kenyon Green is somebody who I think needs practices in a year where, hey, he's trying to turn his career around. So, like, it's not like he's getting a veteran type of day. Like, they could, you're at the point in the season where they could legit be banged up. It's just not good news for the, I think, level that they're playing at. Like, I don't feel like they can afford to be this way, whether it's a diva mentality or, like, legit soreness and inability to practice. Like, I mean, whatever it is, it's a problem.
Look, how are we going to go? We still, Laramie got an ankle that's going on. He can't. That ankle that he tweaked when he was out non-contact.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This game, but the game before.
Yeah, the Jacksonville
when
game.
When he pulled out there and in the flats and kind of tried to stop and turn and kind of rolled that ankle a little bit.
That stuff.
It's the same ankle we talking about?
Yeah, the same one. Same one. Yeah, that's the same ankle.
Before we get you out of here.
You just don't buy that injury, huh? That's one that should be keeping you out.
How quick can I have a little knickknack injury so I can get these Wednesdays off moving forward?
Man, we 5 years into this.
Come
Clint.
On, man.
We're
a year and a half into not being able to run the football. Right. It's going to end up costing
speaking
you a
of run
to
the
win football.
Just the program. Speaking of run the football, before we get you out of here, the running back situation. What are you hearing as we hear on Wednesday with Mixon and Damian Pierce?
Yeah, so I think Damian Pierce, I agree with y'all, like y'all's conversation about the oddity of Ogunba Wale getting the focus that he ended up getting. I think that was based off of him making some plays in that Jacksonville game that were pretty impressive. And he had some moments even in this game, but it was just odd because it feels like Cam Akers is the obvious best back on this team, not named Joe Mixon, even past Damian Pierce. If I had to tell you, I would say it's going to be the pecking order would be a Damian Pierce number one, and then Cam and Dari will kind of mix and match a little bit right behind him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you'll see all three of the backs this weekend.
We'll see if Joe Mixon is able to roll. We'll see. All right. Appreciate you every single Wednesday, 4:40, Brandon Scott, as he does the hard work out there at NRG, the Texans report.
Sprained my ankle at the game Sunday.
Business decisions, man.
You know what I did today?
What?
Got me a little jog walk in. Had a run from a German Shepherd.
Yep, you know what Laramie's going to do? He's going to play.
Should have took Wednesday off.
I don't know why you didn't.
Coming up, we'll get you ready for tomorrow, and not just tomorrow, tomorrow with us of The Drive. The Drive is live, a little thirsty Thursday. We'll get you ready for that. And we'll give you the full injury report because it is long, long. We didn't have enough to talk about all the important things and catch you up on what's going on around sports, including the MLB playoffs, as one game has just ended. All of that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.